Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, CoverThatSpread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses, and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
I am your host, Jay Hayes, managing director and co-founder of Cover That Spread. I will soon be joined by the Sacha, hopefully at least. Got a few things he's taking care of today, so we'll see if he is able to make it on or not. But we've got a good show for you planned today. We're going to be talking about hopefully a little bit of soccer, if he can make it on. We're going to talk a few MLB action as well. We've got a few plays going on tonight on the diamond. And we're also going to talk about the NFL, of course. A little bit of college football action, too, while we're at it, because that's what we do. We try to talk about everything sports-related. We've got 30 minutes, so let's get to this. I'm going to start on the diamond. Now, we're seeing a couple of interesting teams kind of making big strides right now, which I like to see. And, you know, it's that time of the year where certain teams are really good and they don't have a whole lot to play for because they have decent-sized leads, so you're going to see them get caught up once or twice. You've got other teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack. They're right in the thick of things. A lot of those teams are going to get hot, and they're going to get really fun to bet on, and then they're going to get really fun to fade. It's just the time of year, and you've got to know when to stop buying on a team and when to stop selling on a team. I think that is just as important as knowing who to play. You've got to know who not to be playing. So we also then have, you know, the teams that are just an absolute free-for-all where nothing is going right for them all season, yet they've got all the talent in the world and they are going to make some noise down the stretch because they don't have anything else to play for and why not ruin somebody else's season? One of those teams I feel like could be in that position is the Cleveland Indians. Now, a lot of people expected good things out of them this season. They had a really good pitching staff going into it. The big guys were not getting the kind of run support that everybody was expecting. So, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of outstanding questions right now with can this Cleveland team turn it around and be profitable for bettors down the stretch here? Obviously, no one knows that answer. We're only going to be able to look back in hindsight and say yes or no. But they're a team that I like due to the pitching, and I think if their pitching can stay in good shape, they're a real good team if you're looking at matchups. We had a good one last week, I believe it was, when they were out in Los Angeles playing the Angels. We got a couple good matchups, and we were able to play it well on both sides, playing both the Indians and then the Angels, knowing that the Angels' hitting power was just too good at certain times. But, you know, it's part of the game and it's part of understanding not just what you're betting on, but what's inspiring these teams to be playing. So, obviously, there's not a whole lot if you're the Indians right now, but I do think that there is some value playing them down the stretch here. And especially as you start to see them calling up some of the younger kids, you know, the prospects in there, they're positional prospects, I should say. You know, they're decent players. We'll see if they get up and if they get a chance, and maybe they're able to put some life into that order. Now, the big news today, and this game just ended, was out in Seattle, Iwakuma threw the fourth no-hitter of the 2015 season. It looks like they beat Baltimore 3-0. So, big game for Seattle at home. Obviously, they've had a pretty disappointing season, but, you know, a lot of people had them picked to go far. They won 87 games last year. This could be the kind of thing, the kind of game that you see out of a Seattle pitcher that really ignites this team down the rest of the stretch. So, great to see them coming through like that. I don't know exactly where the odds were in this game, but I know at one point I was looking at it and leaning towards Baltimore before I decided just to take a pass overall, mainly because I don't like playing day baseball during the week. I just think it's a little too hit or miss on what can happen, so I wasn't willing to take the chance with that. Happy I did, and I would have been on the wrong side of this one, but congrats out to the Mariners. This is a, you know, nice little story here as the season is winding down. So we do have a couple plays out here tonight. And first one is, looks like we're about 30 minutes away from the first pitch. Toronto hosting Oakland. Toronto won the first game of this three-game set yesterday. We are doing a three-unit play on the Blue Jays minus half a run, first five innings, paying minus 125, like in Burley in this game right here. We also have a parlay. We have two parlays going, so we have four plays total. First parlay, and I'll tell you why we decided to break these off the way we did, but we got the Mets full game, minus 195 at home against the Rockies. They are going for the sweep, and we also took Kansas City, minus 182 at home against Detroit. They are going for the sweep. We decided to put both of these games together, partially because last night we got we lost on a play that we had on the Mets for the first five innings. We took the run line at minus half a run. They were tied 0-0. So partially we're going with the full game because I wasn't too positive on the Mets scoring early in this one, especially because De La Rosa has actually been a pretty good pitcher for the Rockies away from Colorado. That's pretty typical for Rockies pitchers, so I didn't think it was that far-fetched. But I'm really going to go with DeGrom here. I feel like he is in a much better spot. And in the other game, we've got Kansas City. Now, the reason that we've put these two games together is because both teams are going for the sweep. Now, I don't fully think that you can discount any time a team is going for the sweep. However, I don't want to jeopardize other games because of it. So I would either separate them out or, in this case, just tie the two of them together since we're getting really high lines here. The Mets were minus 195, Royals minus 182. So we wouldn't bet those typically just by themselves. But you put them together and you get a parlay that's paying plus 134. So a two-unit parlay on these two games. Volquez is pitching really well for the Royals at home. And we've got for the Tigers, one of the guys that they traded for from the Blue Jays, he's going to be in that game. Had a great first outing, rough second outing. We're going to think this is going to be a rough third outing. So, again, Mets and Royals, first pitch in that Mets game is 7:10, so you've got about 30 minutes to get in on that one. Now, the second parlay of the evening, we are going with Tampa at minus 193 at home against the Braves. We really like Drozzi in this situation. He's pitched really well at home all year. And then we are also taking the Cubs minus 170. Now, the Cubs play I was a little skeptic about, which is why we ended up doing the full game. The Cubs' bats are really coming alive, especially on these night games. They're struggling during the day. They're playing well at night. We're going to try to capitalize on it because of that, but that's why we're playing the full game, and we decided to parlay it because they're at minus 170. So I like I'm not that big of a fan of Jason Hamill right now. I feel like he's struggling right now. He's been struggling for about the last month. He also ran into some troubles late last season after his trade to Oakland. So I find it a little interesting that we're seeing pretty much the same schedule from him one year after another, after he really did have a brilliant first half both this year and last year. On the other side, the Brewers have Matt Garza pitching. Now, Garza's been better on the road than he has been at home. He's actually been somewhat serviceable as of late. But this is more or less me just feeling that the Cubs are a better team. The Cubs are on a roll. And there's, I just don't feel that Milwaukee is the team to stop them. So parlay these two teams, Tampa Bay at minus 193, the Cubs at minus 170, and you get a two-unit parlay paying plus 141. So those two units are going to pay out 2.8 units. Finally, the nightcap. This game I was a little unsure about for a number of reasons. Biggest one is the last time I played Kershaw, he had a down game. But we're going with the Dodgers, minus a half a run. It's paying minus 135. This is going to be a three-unit play. They're at home against the Nationals, and the Dodgers are looking good. Kershaw, minus that one blip in the road, has looked pretty good. So I'm gonna roll with this one. I feel like this is just one of those bets very similar to the DeGrom bet, I'm sorry, the Toronto bet, where you're just going to take a better team. And the team that they're playing isn't bad. They may even actually have a little bit of a, showing a little bit of life lately here. But this is just me picking what I feel to be as a better team, not getting the greatest odds at the greatest juice at minus 135. But I'm going to take it. It's going to be a first five innings play. So I'm hoping that Kershaw just shuts them out, score a couple of runs, and we're cashing tickets at the end of the night. So, again, that's Toronto, first five innings, minus a half a run, a two-team parlay, two-unit two-team parlay with the Mets and with the Royals, and then another two-team parlay, two units, Tampa Bay Rays, Chicago Cubs, and finally, Dodgers, minus a half run, first five innings. Now, last week we were able to talk a little bit about college football, and we were going over the top five teams. We did a brief rundown of what we liked about them, what we didn't like about them. We were both at a pretty good conclusion that we did not feel like not only was TCU a little overrated, but we also felt that the Notre Dame at number four was just kind of bizarre. We weren't really feeling that one at all. Alabama rounded out with number five. Auburn number two we both liked. And Ohio State number one we both agreed was, you know, just a no-brainer right there. So let's take a look at the next five. And again, this is according to the SI Top 25, their preseason ranking that they came out with. Team number six, the Baylor Bears, they went 11-2 last season. They are they had the number one offense in the nation last year. KD Cannon was a sophomore receiver who had a great year. A lot of guys on this team are coming back. So it's a real intriguing team. When you're looking at them versus TCU for who's going to be the best in the Big 12, I personally think it's going to be a toss-up. I don't see either team having a huge advantage one way or the other. Baylor is a team, though, that I think can get I think this team can be a good cover throughout the season. So I'm really looking forward to watching the Bears play. They've got a decent schedule, but I think it's good enough to hopefully keep some lines down early. And then as the season ramps up, I'm really looking for this team to really put some teams away in their conference. So the Bears, I think this could be another top five team. I feel that they're going to be out TCU. Obviously, we're going to see how that plays out. But right now, I'm really big on Baylor. Team number seven, the Michigan State Spartans, they went 11-2 last season. some interesting plays play out of this team last year. They went up to Oregon, and they had a really good start to that game. By halftime, they were losing, and by the end of the game, they were blown out. So they also ran into some trouble a little later in the season. I believe it was against Ohio State. Not surprising. Everybody ran into trouble with them. But Michigan State, a team that, due to how poor the Big Ten is after Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and maybe Nebraska. Maybe you can consider Nebraska in that conversation. You know, the Spartans should be able to beat up on some teams in their conference. They're not playing the hardest out-of-conference schedule. So, you know, the Spartans should be there at the end of the year. Are they a top-10 team? I don't know. I don't think this is a team I'm going to enjoy betting on a lot. Maybe some unders if you're getting some point totals that are creeping into the mid-50s, depending on the matchup. I think this could be a good team to be playing a lot of unders on. Anytime you're going to get points with them outside of a potential Ohio State matchup, I think that that would be probably a good way to go. So, you know, the Spartans, they do play solid football. They're going to run the ball. They're going to be efficient in their passing. They're going to play some good defense. So all in all, this is a good team to play. Be very careful if you see some lines that are getting into the 7 to 10 point range, because I don't know if they're able to cover those on a regular basis, especially against some of the medium to better teams in their conference. Team number 8, another head scratcher here, the Trojans, 9-4 last season. Obviously, Cody Kessler is a Heisman candidate, and they're hoping that he is going to really take that next step in his senior year as he prepares to go to the NFL. Assuming he can go to the NFL is what I should say. You know, this team, again, they're in a conference out in the Pac-12. I don't know how good that conference is outside of Oregon. There's always going to be some talent out there. This team, I just don't see being able to really win regularly. But it's going to be a fun team to watch offensively. It's going to be a fun team to be playing overs on. If you get an over, or if you get a point total in the low 60s, I would be playing the over just about every time. So Trojans are going to be a lot of fun to watch, I feel. I don't know if they're top 10 worthy. I don't know if they're a 10-win team. But this team should be a lot of fun. Number 9, the Florida State Seminoles. These guys have had an interesting offseason. A lot of issues with players on here. A couple guys left. A lot of guys are drafted. So we'll see where this goes this year, if they're able to rebound from all the controversy that surrounded them over the last 8 months or so. The Seminoles are going to have an easy path because of the ACC, because of their conference. I also feel that because of their conference, they end up playing with a lot of inflated lines at times. So this is a team I feel that is good to fade, and probably fading early in their conference schedule is a better way to go, because I feel that those lines may be a little inflated until we really see what this team is. So I'm looking to fade them early. If we bother making plays on Florida State, this could be a good team just to pass on, because you don't know how they're responding to Winston leaving and to every other allegation that's come out against this team right now. Finally, rounding out the top 10, the Oregon Ducks, 13-2 last year. We all know Mariota left. We all know that they've had a lot of players go off to the NFL draft the last couple of years here. So it's a question of, are they continuing to restock? You know, this team, very similar to USC, is going to have an up-and-down season in the conference just because there is a lot of talent out there. Now, their defense is decent, and even with the players that they've lost, they seem to be able to really reload every year. So I like the way that they have been building this team. I like what they're doing offensively. Obviously, we're going to see if this changes at all with Mariota being gone. But, you know, the Ducks are looking to be in decent shape. I think 10 is a little low. I think they are going to end up being closer to a top five team when it's all said and done. It may look a lot different than it has in the past, but this is a team where I'm going to hopefully take advantage of some lower lines early and then probably fade them later as lines start to get inflated. So that was five. That was 6 through 10 in the SI.com NCAA football preseason rankings. We'll take a look at the next five next week, and hopefully Catacho is back on and we can have a little bit more of a conversation as opposed to you guys just listening to me rambling on. Now, we talked about every NFL division except for the NFC West. So this is going to be our eighth and final installment of our preseason previews. And, you know, let's take a look here at some of the numbers. All of these are courtesy of betdsi.eu. We're going to kick it off with the Arizona Cardinals. Usually I would say over under, give a number, and Catracho would give me his name, his what he liked, over or under. But since he's not here, I'm going to answer for the both of us. So let's kick this off. We've got Arizona 8.5. The over is the slight favorite at this point at -113 for the juice. I am not feeling this Arizona team. I think this is a solid underplay. They've gotten some really good play with Bruce Arians as their coach the last two seasons. Carson Palmer looked good when healthy. I just don't see this one continuing. I don't feel a whole lot about this team. So I'm going to go under on that one. Let's see who else we got here. The St. Louis Rams, their over-under win total. 8 games. Right now, the under is a huge favorite, paying -175. I'm going to have to agree with that one. I feel the Rams are a pretty overrated team. And Nick Foles, although I did like him out of college, I didn't feel he was that great, going to be that, you know, serviceable of an NFL quarterback. He is now going to a system that I don't think is going to be very friendly for him. So they definitely are taking a step back at quarterback. They have had a lot of turnover in their running back, with their running backs. And not that that's necessarily a bad thing. They're not getting, you know, just sticking it out with one guy, which is a good thing. However, I don't feel that any of their options are very solid. So when you start to look at their skill position, I think there's a lot lacking with St. Louis. I don't see it working with Nick Foles. And as good as that defense is, you know, they'll be lucky to go 3-3 in their division. So not feeling St. Louis, I'm going to go under 8 wins. The San Francisco 49ers, interesting offseason, to say the least. There was an article out today, or in the last week, I should say, that said, you know, the 49ers had the worst offseason in NFL history. And it's very possible that they did. I would not be surprised by, I should say, I wasn't surprised to hear that. I was actually surprised when I looked at everybody that did leave, everybody that was cut, everybody that was arrested and then cut. You know, I was really surprised how much this team lost. And when you start to look at their draft, yeah, they had a lot of picks, but that's a lot of depth to be replacing. I mean, they literally lost their entire defensive line in one offseason. That's not good. They lost their coach, and I feel like their coach was the guy who fueled their quarterback. So as many head-shaking moments as Colin Kaepernick has produced over the last couple of years, both good and bad head-shaking for that matter, you know, his head just doesn't seem like it's really quite there where it needs to be on a week-to-week basis. And I feel like it's going to be a little worse now that Harbaugh is gone. So I'm looking to go under 7 with the 49ers. Not that I'd be making that play right now because the under is at -185. But looking at their schedule, I was not very didn't feel very good about it. I did not feel like it was very favorable. If you want to go over right now, you can get plus 160. That is a pretty solid number to be getting. But, again, I don't think the 49ers have it in them. Then again, when you look at the NFL, when you look at how some of these teams go from season to season, you know, there's definitely been bigger surprises than this. The 49ers did bring in they still have Carlos Hyde. They brought in Reggie Bush. You know, there could be just enough offensive talent to get somewhere. But again, I don't feel that their schedule is going to allow it. So I'm going to stay under seven. Just would not be very surprised if this team miraculously did turn around, because this team did have a lot of players that were drafted prior to Harbaugh getting there that really built the nucleus of the last five seasons with this team. Seattle Seahawks, fourth team in the division. They won it a year ago with 12 wins. Over 12 wins is paying minus 146, so that's a pretty decent favorite for the Seahawks to go over 11 again. I think that they can do it. Now that the 49ers took this kind of step back, I see the Seahawks winning five or all six of their divisional games, and you're halfway there to 12 at that point. So feel good about the Seahawks. I feel really good with the Jimmy Graham situation. For those of you who listened to Troy and I on Fantasy Freeway last Thursday, you'll know that I'm very big on the Jimmy Graham acquisition, because this is the first big-time receiving threat that we've seen Russell Wilson with since he got to Seattle. So I really like this. I feel like this is opening up so much of what this team is built to do. That kind of receiving threat at tight end, having that kind of size in a receiver, going to make a big difference. You know, one thing that I would like to point out is, imagine Jimmy Graham running the slant in the Super Bowl last year to win the game. Does that ball get intercepted? Does he allow a Patriots safety to go through him to get to the football? My answer is no. I don't think if that was Jimmy Graham, that ball would have been intercepted. We'd be having a much different offseason this year talking about Seattle as back-to-back champion. But we all know they did not have Jimmy Graham. I'm looking for him to be a big difference maker in this offense. So odds to win the division, Seattle minus 490. Obviously, they are the big favorite there. Arizona is the second one at 6-1. St. Louis 7-1. San Francisco 17-1. I don't think I would touch any of those odds right there. I'm not going to take Seattle at that kind of juice. Arizona, like I said, I don't have faith they're going to win 8.5 or 9 games, so I'm definitely not doing it. I think everybody else is going to be going under. This could be a down season overall for the division. Not quite transitional, because I do think there is a decent amount of talent here, but I think we could be seeing a little bit of a down season after the last couple years where it seemed like this was maybe the toughest division in football. It's still going to have some really good defenses, and it's really going to have some good play, but I don't see a whole lot of playoff contenders outside of the Seahawks. So odds to win the NFC, Arizona's at 15-1. St. Louis is at 24-1. San Francisco is at 40-1. Seattle is at 5-2. Super Bowl odds, Seattle, you can get them at 4-1. San Francisco, 70-1. St. Louis, 43-1. And Arizona, 29-1. You know, going with Seattle there at 4-1, it's not bad. I'm not big in tying up my money for 6 months for, you know, a 4-1 payout. I don't see that being a whole lot of value. 5-2 for the NFC title. And again, I don't know if that's a good enough payout for me either to be wanting to do it. I don't see any of these teams really competing. You know, if you think that Arizona is that team to make the next step in the division, you can get them winning the division at 6-1. I don't see it. but I could see there being a little bit of value there. You can get them winning the NFC at 15-1. That might be the best play here because I don't think it's that big of a reach. In a lot of ways, I'm actually surprised it's not higher, which is making me feel that a lot of bettors have their eye on the Arizona Cardinals this year. 29-1 to win the Super Bowl. For what they have, when I really break down that Cardinals team, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but at 30-1 or 29-1, they're obviously not being viewed as that far off by line makers. So, you know, maybe Arizona is somewhat decent. They did go, 9-1 last year with Carson Palmer, or before the entire team fell apart and was injured down the stretch. So, you know, anything is possible, and we'll really have to see how Seattle comes out. But, I, again, when it comes down to the Seattle Seahawks team, adding Jimmy Graham, I think, makes all the difference in the world for this team offensively. They're pretty much bringing back the same defensive team. They've had a little bit of turnover in some of their reserves in the secondary, but this team has proved over the last couple of years that they know how to restock, they know how to draft for depth, they know how to draft in general. So, the Seahawks are my team to go over. They are my team to win the division, and really they're my team to win the NFC and potentially the Super Bowl. I don't fully know if I like them winning the Super Bowl, but, you know, I would definitely say at 5-2, they're probably my NFC favorites. I do have another team that, although I wasn't really high on a few weeks ago, so there's two teams that I wasn't really high on a few weeks ago when we were going over these divisionals. Now I'm starting to actually like them a little more. And both teams come out of the NFC. One of them, I don't have any faith in winning the conference. So don't get me wrong, like I'm making a very, very bold Super Bowl prediction here. But of the two teams that I like a lot more than I liked a few weeks ago, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 137-1 to win the Super Bowl. I have no faith that that's going to happen. They are also 72-1 to win the NFC. No faith that's going to happen. But when you look at this makeup of the NFC South, there's, I think, a solid chance for the Buccaneers to win this. They are 8-1. They are by far the underdogs to win the division. When we did this a few weeks ago, I believe the Panthers were the front runner. They still are at plus 180. Falcons are right behind them at plus 193. The Saints are behind them at plus 200, 2-1. So, you know, those three teams are still all sitting right there. I'm starting to feel, the more and more I'm breaking down the Buccaneers, that this defense is decent. They're going to be better in year two of Lovie Smith's system. I also think Jameis Winston needs to be decent, but with his two receivers that he has, his two giant 6'5" receivers, he's got a chance to actually have a kind of a special rookie season. You know, he had Kelvin Benjamin in college, and I think Kelvin Benjamin is better than both Mike Evans and possibly Vincent Jackson, but they're all very similar players. So I could see him having some really good success, having two of those targets out there. You know, they need to get a running game, obviously. But this is a team where I'm starting to now kind of go over my second and third pass with these divisions. Buccaneers at 8-1, I feel much better about than taking the Panthers at plus 180. Partially because I like the payout. Partially because I feel that the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Saints are all kind of in this mix of not quite good enough teams, and I think the Buccaneers could just kind of swoop in. They've had some good years of drafting, and they've missed on some big free agents, but I'm starting to think that this team may be ready to make that step. So you look at a division that's really weak. That's a big reason why I'm targeting Tampa Bay. Now, another team that I'm really liking the more and more I am reviewing them, is the Philadelphia Eagles. They're currently sitting odds to win the NFC East at plus 159. Now, it's not like an incredible payout, just barely over 3-2. But they are second behind Dallas. Dallas is a minus 105 odds to win the division. But the Eagles are a team that I feel like Chip Kelly has done a really good job with. Managing players is not easy, and managing a lot, knowing when to cut ties with guys is very difficult too. But you look what he's done. He's pumped up value on all these guys and then gotten some kind of compensation for him through draft picks, through players. You know, he's adding, he's constantly tinkering. And the odd thing is a lot of people typically complain that the biggest problem with their team is they're a little too complacent. Well, this is the exact opposite. They are all about pumping up a player, getting some value for him, and then letting him go, or not willing to overpay for him. So I'm liking more and more with the Eagles what they're doing. They're to win the NFC, they're at roughly 10-1, paying plus 979. I actually kind of like those odds for Philadelphia. You know, it's not going to be an easy path for them getting through potentially both Green Bay and then Seattle in the NFC playoffs, but I don't think it's that far out of the question that they'll be able to do it, especially because they possibly have the easiest path to get there, to get home field. So if the Eagles are able to win 12 games, if they're able to get home field advantage, we both know that the Packers and the Seahawks can win on the road, but I do think that it could work. I think that it could, this Eagle team could make it to the Super Bowl. So when I'm looking at realistic lines, 10-1, I think I'm willing to take that one. And for Philadelphia to win the Super Bowl, that's paying 20-1 right now. So when I look at a team like Philadelphia and then I look at a team like Dallas, Dallas right now is 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. I like Philadelphia to win a lot more than I like the Cowboys to win. So just food for thought when you guys are looking at some futures here, comparing some of the divisional, some of the conference, some of the Super Bowl, some of the win totals. A lot to think about, but, you know, just make sure you guys aren't throwing away stupid money because you are tying that up for 6 months, so you're not going to see any kind of payout for a while. So that wraps up the NFC West and also our preview of division by division preview. We will be talking more NFL in the next couple of weeks here because we've got what, 3 or 4 weeks until kickoff. So there's still plenty of time to get in on this. For those of you that want to start listening in on some fantasy football talk, we, Troy and I, do the Fantasy Freeway Thursdays at 6:30 p.m., so be sure to check that out. Our schedule for the regular season is going to be a little different this year. We are going to do Thursday night show, 6:30 p.m. That is going to be talking about college football. Now, that's going to be a little tricky because, obviously, we're going to have a couple of days until the actual games, the majority of the games are being played. So we're mostly going to be talking about Saturday games with the full disclaimer that we are, you know, a couple of days early. So be sure to be checking your injury reports to make sure that we're not telling you to play a guy that is ends up, you know, with a broken leg or ends up sitting out a game. So, you know, unfortunately, that was the only time we could really get. So that's why we have to do it a couple days early. But it's still, there's going to be a lot of value. We're going to be discussing our DraftKings lineups, how to go about building them. Then on Sundays, and the time is still pending, but right now we are shooting for 11 or 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. That's where we're going to be talking about the NFL. So if you guys want to be listening to some NFL fantasy action prior to the game's 1 o'clock kickoff, then be sure to listen to us on the Fantasy Freeway Sunday mornings during the NFL season. The first show that we are going to do will be September 13th, I want to say, is kickoff. So it's going to be a good show this year. For those of you guys who listened last year, it was a lot of fun doing it. It was a lot of fun building. And, you know, we did win some money. So can't say that we were completely just off our rockers week to week. So we're going to be tracking that a little better just to show you guys results. And if you guys want to call in, feel free to give us a call. I do not actually, I do have the call-in number for that. It is 917-932-1779. Give us some, you know, talk to us about your fantasy leagues and about some guys that maybe we're missing or some, you know, some information that we're not aware of. So always look forward to talking to you guys about fantasy football. Also, I've got, on top of these, we've also been doing a YouTube channel where we are releasing our spread rankings of the NFL teams from 32 all the way down to number one. We will be having another big group release probably in the next week or so, but you can get on there. Be sure to watch all of those and check out some of the different specials that we have going with Cover That Spread. You know, we've got a really big YouTube special on there right now where we are doing really discounted NFL packages and college packages, and we'll throw in some baseball stuff on there for free too. You can also listen to podcasts on each individual team, which I am doing. That is, you know, all of them are maybe 5 to 10 minutes long, but it's a lot of good information for those of you who are going to be betting this NFL season. Finally, August 17th is almost here. That is the day the World Series of Handicapping.com registration begins. So for those of you who want to do a fun NFL handicapping contest, it is free, and there is a weekly payout to a sports book. I believe it is sportsbook.eu, or I'll have to check and see if it's going to be the same one or not this season. But, you know, that's a lot of fun to do. You can compete against some of the best handicappers in the world. It is a great contest. You pick 7 games, either point spreads or totals, any combination of 7 that you want to do. And you rank them 1 through 7, and you get paid out, and or you get ranked by how many units you make per week. So with all of that said, there's a lot going on with the NFL coming up. It is right around the corner. There's always a lot of things you can do. So if you want to get in contact with me about any of our shows or any of our packages, please send me an email, thespread@coverthatspread.com. You can find me on Twitter, @coverthatspread, spelled S-P-R-D. And as always, good luck betting this evening, and may the spread be forever in your favor. Take care, guys.